Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
One big question.
The one big question goes today as follows. Getting away from the Kansas City Chiefs, I will set the over-under on Missouri wins against Kansas at 1.5. Sports Machine, what are you taking? Are you taking the over or the under on 1.5 wins for Missouri in the 6-game series against your Kansas Jayhawks?
So the rotation is starting next year, December 12th, 2020. The game will be at Sprint Center, so essentially neutral court. The year after that, Allen Fieldhouse. Year after that, in Columbia. Then they'll do the same thing. So they'll play this game 6 times. Can MU win 2 of them? Probably not. I'll give them 1. I think MU wins 1 game at home. There's no way they come to Allen Fieldhouse. Those games at Sprint Center are going to be the most coveted ticket in that building since maybe, I don't know, Garth Brooks opened the joint 15 years ago. It's going to be absolutely wild. And this is what I love about the rivalry, that it splits the metro area. We're all Chiefs fans. We're all Royals fans. But when it comes to KU-MU, we've all got our own separate opinions. I can't see MU winning more than one of those games. I think it's going to be as intense as KU is for any game that season, certainly any Big 12 game that season when they're playing MU. So I'll give MU 1, BK, but I can't go much higher than that.
BK, we're asking the question. You taking the over or under on Missouri wins against Kansas at 1.5? Are you taking the over or the under?
I think this sets up pretty well for Mizzou, in part because, to go over this, let me clarify. I don't think they're going to win like 4 of these games, but I think Mizzou is starting to build what they expected to be under Konzo Martin. The young players are starting to become juniors and seniors, and certainly by about midway through this series, that's what you're going to anticipate. I think Mizzou's about to have a pretty good program, a top 30 to 40 program in the country. And when you have that, you should expect to go something like 2-4 in a series like this against Kansas. So I'm going to take the over. I think they win at least 2 of these games against KU.
What say you?
I think 1.5 is the proper line. Let's go ahead and give them a guaranteed 2 losses at Allen Fieldhouse. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There is a 0% chance that they win either of the games. I don't know who's going to be on Missouri's team. I don't know who's going to be on Kansas's team. But I know the history of that building and the officiating in that building. Missouri ain't winning either one of those games. So it basically comes down to, do you think they can win 2 of the 4 other games? I'll go with over. I think they can win 1 in Columbia and 1 in Sprint Center. I don't know which one they'll get in Sprint, but if they can get 1 in Sprint and 1 in Columbia over the 6 years, I think they're fine. I'll take the over, but to me, 2 is probably the most likely and best case scenario. There's no way they get 3. No way they get 3. It's either 1 or 2. I don't think Kansas wins all 6 of the games.
The other thing we got to remember is this is right around the time when Bill Self always comes out and says our team doesn't play defense. It's going to be in December. This is the perfect timing to catch KU at the moment right before they go into conference play, when Bill Self wants to make his point to his fans and to his team that his team's not playing good defense right now. This is the right timing as well for the games at Sprint Center for Mizzou to be able to steal at least 1 of those 2.
Oh, we don't guard anybody. You're going to hear that at some point, but there's no way Kansas isn't hyper-focused on this game. I hear what you're saying. Like, this is a trap game. This is the time of year you can usually get Bill's. No. Okay, maybe if it's not KU versus MU. I heard Ron saying earlier that he doesn't think this game's going to have quite the luster that it used to. I actually disagree. I think that when you get something taken away that you love, like KU versus MU, once it comes back, it's going to be better than it ever was.
I do think, as someone who has been to probably 4 or 5 of those random Kansas games at Sprint Center, I think part of the problem is there's no energy in the building in those games. Like, I was at the last time KU lost in that building in a non-con game. I believe they played Washington. It was Mike Hopkins' first year. There was absolutely no energy in the building, no buzz, no nothing. I think part of it, especially with college players, is They feed off the energy in the crowd. And I think that home court advantage is probably greater in college basketball than any other sport that we watch.
Were you in that same building for the KU-MU exhibition?
Yes, I was there.
Was there energy then?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I know that I was about to get to that point. I think in this, it's going to be different because I'm with you when it comes to the focus level in this. I don't think KU is going to be able to sleepwalk the way that they do during those other games because of the energy that you're talking about. Like, it's going to be in a situation where you got to get up to play. If you don't get up to play, you are going to get embarrassed. Like, you are going to lose to Missouri and hear about it for so long that I'm with you. I think the focus level in this is going to be different than if they play random Power 5 school because I think the fans are going to be in it more. The energy and atmosphere in the building is going to be very different.
I don't think it's going to be like the last year that these two teams played because we knew at that point that MU was going to the SEC and it was the last time for a long time, maybe ever at that point, we were going to see those two teams get together. So that last game in Columbia was special. That last game in Lawrence was a top three I was there moment being a fan my entire life. It's probably not going to be that intense, but it's going to get back to the way it was for 100 years.
Text line 69306, who's to say that KU is going to get the recruits they are used to while they have this black cloud over their head? That's part of it too. I do believe that KU is going to have some level of sanctions over the next 6 years, but I won't say that KU is going to have a down year. I just don't know if KU is going to be dominant. Like, I think KU is going to have another one of the years that they just had over the next 6 years.
What are the sanctions really going to do? Like, assuming that they're not extremely long-term, if we're talking about 1 or 2 years, they can't be postseason eligible, get scholarships taken away, over the next 6 years, how much is that really going to affect this series?
I mean, if they're going to take scholarships away and you don't think that they're going to make the NCAA tournament, if you're a one-and-done kid, would you go to Kansas? Like, if you are only going to be in school for 1 year, and you know that 1 year, there's no chance that you can play in the NCAA tournament. Is that a school that you would attend? Like, that's probably not where I'm going. So I do think we'll see some effects, but it depends on what the sanctions are. I do think they're going to see some sanctions, so I do think that's part of it, especially over the next 6 years. Like, we're going to find out what Kansas's penalty is over the next 6 years. I don't know if it's this year. I don't know if it's next year. I don't know if it's in 2 years. But we are going to find out what their penalty is over the next 6 years.
Didn't Kelly Bryant essentially transfer to MU under those same circumstances? And I know it's a little bit different, but knowing that you couldn't be eligible for the postseason.
He didn't know that when he transferred.
Oh, okay, well then no. But yeah, I mean, I do think that it's obviously going to cost KU recruits going forward, but I don't think it's going to be the type of thing where if they go on probation for the next couple of years, the program goes away. I think if they pick up right where they left off for the next 6 years.
Yeah, I don't think it's go away, but I don't know if you're going to be on the same level as Duke and Kentucky if you can't make the NCAA tournament for 2 years.
Like, you have to be to beat MU, though? Like,
no,
do you have
don't.
To be Duke or Kentucky to beat MU?
But I would just say the margin, if you're playing in a neutral site, if KU is going to make last year's KU team, Missouri can beat that team. Like, last year's KU team, that's a 4 or 5 seed, that's a good team, but not a great overpowering team. You can absolutely beat that team on a neutral site. You can absolutely beat that team if it comes to your building. I'm talking about KU being the dominant every year. They're one of the three best teams in college basketball. I don't think Missouri has much of a chance to beat that team. If Kansas takes a step back from that because of the sanctions, they absolutely leave themselves to be upset by a team like Missouri.
And Bill Self's been the head coach since, what, 2004? So we're talking about 16, 17 years. That was his worst team last year, or at least you could argue the least talented team that he's had. So maybe you're right. MU in a vacuum last year could beat KU. 15 of other Bill Self's teams that he's coached at KU would smoke MU.
There were literally seasons that we watched these teams and Mizzou didn't lose all of the games against Kansas. So I think that's a hard argument to make there.
All right.
So you got to get one? You think they only get one of these six?
I thought I was being generous with one. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I mean, okay.
We'll see.
Yeah, I'm shocked you think they're that much better than Missouri on neutral sites and playing in the building.
I just think they're going to get up for each of those individual games.
I don't know if they would beat K-State 6 times in a row in this scenario, or Iowa State.
Well, it's a little different because they play K-State every year. They haven't had the 8-year hiatus.
I'm saying is if they played KU or if they played K-State or Iowa State in the same scenario, I don't think they would beat them 6 times in a row. I don't think they would beat them. Like, let's say that Iowa State joined a random conference and then they just agreed at Sprint Center to play with how Iowa State fans are. I don't think they beat Iowa State all 6 times. I think they probably beat them the same. I think it's 4-2.
I think Iowa State's a bit of probably a better basketball program than MU's been over the last decade or so. But again, that's a different conversation for another day. I just think that KU's going to individually get up for each one of these games. And I gave you one. I said one. I think that MU probably wins one of the two games. I can't see, like you said, MU coming into Lawrence and winning it out in Fieldhouse. Nobody does. And those games at Sprint Center are just going to be such a rabid environment. Maybe MU pulls one of those out. Maybe they get to 2. I'd be shocked if they get to 3.
Coming up in about 20 minutes, we'll get into the cover 2. We'll get into a college football topic and an NFL topic. But before we do that, BK, let's go rapid fire.
Let's go a little rapid-fire college basketball. How about this? Mizzou KU is back, so let's get a few questions from you guys. C-Dot, let's start with you. What do you hate most about the opposing fan base?
I think the KU fans are Iowa State fans that win. Like, I think Iowa State fans are incredibly annoying. Their team has never committed a foul. Their team's never traveled. Their team's never done anything wrong. I think KU fans are Iowa State fans that win.
What do I hate most about MU fans? How long you got? I'll answer this.
About 30 seconds. It's rapid fire.
30 seconds. Okay. I know you guys won that game in 2008 at Arrowhead. I understand. Y'all won that football game. Good for you. Did you win a BCS game that year? No. KU went on and beat Virginia Tech. And if they would have gone on and lost that game, that I would hear that conversation. That should have been MU. No, KU went on and beat a very good football team. They've got a BCS win. You don't. I'm done hearing that argument. I get it. You guys won that football game. Congratulations.
I hate how KU fans always hate their own team. But if anybody else says anything negative about their team, that person is the hater. It's unbelievable to me. Every year, KU fans hate the basketball team that's on the court. But if I say they're the fifth best team in the country, well, how can you not have them first? I don't understand it. Second question for you, rapid fire Mizzou versus KU.
I will say really quick, I guess it goes in that same vein. What I do love most about KU fans is, KU fans, they tell me how great the Big 12 is. If you suggest that any other team from the Big 12 is good, they're like the worst team. We're like, oh, well, how about Kansas winning? No, it's the best, most competitive. How can it be the most competitive conference if one team has won 14 in the last 15 years? Doesn't make any sense. It can't be the best.
Let's continue our rapid fire. The loss from the opposing team, so C-Dot for you, KU. The loss from KU that you enjoyed watching the most was what?
Oh, there's so many. For the sake of the question, I will pick... I mean, Northern Iowa's very high up there. I'm going to pick the Elite Eight loss against Oregon. The fact that it wasn't far away, you could just drive right down to Sprint Center. They were basically at home up against Oregon. You had Frank Mason and Devontae Graham and Josh Jackson. Oh, it was supposed to be a celebration. You were supposed to just see walk into the Final Four. But no, Jordan Bell came in and made sure none of that went down. I think that's the worst loss since Self's been there.
I don't know. There are a couple of B schools. That Farouk Manesh loss was very painful. There have been a few of them. My favorite MU loss was Tyus Edney. What was it, like 4.7 seconds left? MU was the better basketball team. Tyus Edney dribbles the length of the court, lays it in the NCAA tournament, and knocks out a Tigers team that I don't know if they could have won the national championship, but certainly could have got to a Final Four. That or the Norfolk State loss. I enjoyed both of those very much.
I think the Northern Iowa one is the correct answer here. I could also make a case, though, for the Stanford loss, because that team was supposed to be so special, and it felt so good to watch them lose that early in the tournament. So I would go with one of those two. All right, last one for you, C-Dot. Your favorite player from the other team, so for you, for KU, that you would never actually admit to liking?
I don't have any problem admitting that I really like Devontae Graham. Like, Devontae Graham was a lot of fun. I liked his backstory. I liked his game. I think his name's going to be up there with Wilt and Danny Manning and all the great KU players. I don't have any problem admitting it. I am a Devontae Graham fan.
I like the Golden Girls. I think they're really good at what they do. AJ, I guess, Arthur Johnson. I like watching Arthur Johnson play basketball. Back to what we were talking about for a minute, as a KU fan, I think most KU fans will tell you the most painful loss was Arizona. The Paul Pierce, Rafe LaFrenne, Jacques Vaughn, Scott Pollard, Jared Haas team. That team was so good. They had lost one game in the regular season. Actually, ironically, it came to MU. I believe it was in overtime.
I think that was Roy's best team.
Yeah, and then they lost. I think that's one of the best college basketball teams ever, and they didn't even end up making it to the Sweet 16 that year. That, to me, is the most painful loss for a KU basketball fan.
Favorite player that you would never admit to?
I guess AJ. I like Flip Pressa. He's all right.
Oh, you've got some great answers here. I'd probably go with Julian Wright as my favorite KU player that I wouldn't want to admit to. He wasn't the best player for Kansas, but he was the most fun player to watch from Kansas. He would probably be my answer, Julian Wright.
We took bowling class together, me and Julian. He's a really good bowler. Actually, these days he's probably a better bowler than his basketball player, for being completely honest.
Every time I think of Julian Wright, I think of when he missed that windmill dunk on the fast break. That's what I think of.
Fell on his ass. That was great.
That's what I think of every time. Those are some of my favorite. Remember Brady Morningstar's free throw against Texas where he like tripped over the line?
Of course.
That's an all-time great moment. My timeline was filled with the with Keon Dooling's, I mean, the block charge. That's the worst block charge I've ever seen in my life. I hate block charge. That's maybe the worst one I've ever seen.
What do you think it was?
Clearly was a foul. It was an what? What? What kind of question is that? It wasn't a charge.
I thought it was a great call.
You thought it was a great call?
Yeah.
Okay, all right, my bad.
Mm-hmm. There's been a few of those in this series.
Yeah, coming up in a little bit.
K-State fans say the same thing in the KU series. Remember Svi when he took, 14 steps? Oh, yeah, that's cool.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.